You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Someone has said, loneliness is the most devastating malady of the age. There is no human condition so acute, so universal.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us the joy of your company, your gracious presence, your power, as we put our trust in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ. Overcome our moments of loneliness with the glorious assurance of Jesus. Remember, I will be with you always. Help us to hear that good news, to believe in him and follow him. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Someone has said, loneliness is the most devastating malady of the age. There is no human condition so acute, so universal. There's the older woman, bereft of the company and support of the man who has lived with her in a happy marriage for decades. It has been the happiest time of her life, and now her partner has been snatched away from her by death. There's the family, the children, who are left alone by an automobile accident that killed both of their parents. There are those people who have longed for love, but have never found it in a suitable partner. They had dreams of what life might be, but their dreams never became reality. They feel all alone, without the company they desire, the children they wanted to mother or to father, and the love they feel would have warmed their lives. The world is full of lonely people. They sit on park benches and bar stools, going to movie theaters and cocktail parties to pass the time. Some of them are to be found in church pews that sometimes are not as warm and comforting as they might be. 11 men went up to the mountain that day where the Lord had directed them to go. They felt mighty lonely at the moment, even though they expected him to be there. They felt even lonelier when he left to them the whole enterprise he had begun. To these 11 men, Jesus Christ said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. You go and make disciples. And remember, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ was not talking to them figuratively, in picture language that you have to spell out in order to determine what it means. He could talk that kind of language, always in very ordinary words that everybody could understand. Sometimes you have to wait a while to find out what picture language means, how it is all going to turn out. But you can understand it. In this case, the Lord was not talking in picture language. He sent his disciples to every corner of the earth, telling them that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the last extremity of the earth. He was not talking picture language. He was talking geographically about the real earth in which these men were going to live their real lives. There's no exaggeration at all in his order that they should go because he had been given all authority. They should just go. And they went where they were sent. That's what it takes to be an apostle, a messenger of the Most High God, to tell the good news of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew tells us that some of those disciples on that day hesitated. They wondered about what they were getting into. Maybe they wondered about his ability to carry out his promise. They were human, as we are human. You can understand why they wondered. But they went where they were sent. And he made his promise come true for them, as he does for everyone who goes with trust in Jesus Christ. Remember, he says, I will be with you always. Being sent does not mean that you have to go to a foreign country as a missionary, although for some people it does mean that. They receive a call from God to do that, and they go. Being sent means being a disciple, a follower of Christ, on fire with the love of Christ. It means having Christ in your heart by faith and knowing some of the height, breadth, length, and depth of the love of God that you see in Jesus Christ. It's being touched by the Spirit of God, whom Christ sent into the world. It's being a real person, not a plastic saint, forgiven by the grace of God and forgiving others by the power of God, as Christ's people were meant to do. Still, loneliness strikes people like that, as it does other people. I can remember when I went away from home to school for the first time at the age of 14. I had been planning to do this for a long time, and now the time had come. When my parents drove away, however, and I saw the car leaving the campus of this preparatory school, the lonely feeling of being away from home for the first time still remains with me. Even at that age, I took comfort from something I'd learned from my parents and also from my teachers in a Christian elementary school. Remember, I will be with you always. Loneliness strikes all ages. There's a little boy who complains that he has no one to play with. One little boy who had this experience said, "Can you help me become unlonely?" You can imagine how children feel when their parents separate. Young people are lonely when they are alienated from their parents and think no one understands them. Loneliness is the first result when a friendship is broken. Ask anyone jilted by a boyfriend or a girlfriend how it feels to be lonely. Loneliness hits when a marriage is shattered, or when a husband and wife, though living together, feel estranged from one another. Loneliness sets in when a close friend dies. At the death of a beloved husband or wife, the pain of loneliness and emptiness of life are so extreme that only those who've gone through it can understand it. Finally, there's the loneliness of the aged, who feel useless, unwanted, unneeded, and worthless. One out of four households in the United States has only one person living in it. Some people live alone by choice. Others live by themselves because of circumstances. Many of them tell me by letter how sharp is their loneliness. You could be one of those who feel the pangs of loneliness on festive occasions, such as New Year's Eve, and especially at Christmas time. Christmas is one of the hardest times of the year for many people. Your family and friends are far away. Everybody else, it seems, is having a good time, and you feel abandoned and lonely. You don't have to be ashamed to admit that you have spells of loneliness. To be human is to be lonely at times. It's possible to feel very much alone in a very large crowd. You don't feel comfortable. You don't seem to fit in. You think, I'm just a dud here. And you begin to question whether you belong anywhere. Everybody feels lonely at times. There are no exceptions. Even Jesus Christ felt loneliness. He chose 12 men to train for a great mission, and he loved their companionship. The night before he died, he asked his three closest friends to remain with him. They themselves have told us what they did. They did not understand how lonely he was. And the next day, they all abandoned him. That's not the way their story ends, of course, but that's the way it began on the day of his crucifixion. He experienced real loneliness there on his cross, feeling abandoned by his Father, with whom he had lived in unbroken, loving, and eternal fellowship. He paid for our sins there that day, yours and mine. He knew all the forsakenness, the separation that sin brings about, in this world of ours. He was altogether human, this eternal Son of the living God. And he suffered all the loneliness of our humanity as he carried our sins on that tree. Jesus Christ was not abandoned by his Father. Instead, he was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Knowing all about loneliness in all the glory of his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ said to his disciples that day, and to every disciple since that day, "Remember, I will be with you always." It is his gift to you, just as he is the Father's gift to you. You can depend upon him, and you can rely upon his promise. "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Remember, I will be with you constantly." The presence of Jesus in the lives of people who trust him is the fulfillment of his promise that he kept making to his disciples. "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you." He said that when he promised his people another counselor to be with them always, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Jesus and of God brings life as only a gracious God can give it. This gift from God does not rule out feelings of loneliness, but it certainly does overcome them. This is life, not just religion, but life. To know in Jesus Christ the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ himself, who is and ever will be one of us. The Spirit of God is bringing you that certainty today in these ordinary words of ordinary people who found out for themselves that the Lord meant it when he said, "Remember, I will be with you always." That's life, real life, full and rich and new every day in the grace of God, with strength in the midst of weakness and help in time of trouble, with health and salvation even for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. There is power to know, to trust, and to follow in the steps of Jesus, who's the beginner and the ender of all faith. Faith in Jesus is practical. It needs to be practiced all the time. You don't have to go around pitying yourself. If you do feel sorry for yourself, you don't have to talk about it all the time. Nothing turns people off like self-pity. Someone told a friend of mine once upon a time, "If you go on pitying yourself, nobody else will pity you." You don't have to go around blaming other people for your problems. It may very well be that others caused some of your loneliness by rejecting your friendship, that friends moved away to a different place, or that somebody close to you died. Blaming others, you merely embitter yourself. Remember, you will stay lonely only if you choose to do so. The Lord has promised, "Remember, I will be with you always." Out of loneliness, don't do anything foolish, which will be automatically harmful. A lonely girl may decide to lower her moral standards in order to attract boyfriends. In this case, the cure is worse than the disease. Some people in their loneliness turn to excessive use of narcotics and other painkillers. That just aggravates the situation. What can you do to cope with loneliness? Practice your faith in Christ. Have faith in Christ that he means what he says. And practice your faith in Christ. Let him take over the minutes as well as the days. The big plus of faith in Christ is that he is always with you. He really is. That's what he says, and that's what he is. Instead of just sitting there and moping over your loneliness, reach out with the confidence of faith and the warmth of love that Christ gives to people who put their trust in him. It could work out in such a simple way as to say to someone, "Would you like to have lunch with me?" I'm always surprised at the great effects of little gestures of generosity and consideration that spring up from a heart which loves the Lord. Helping others blows away the mist of loneliness. This is one good reason for the company of believers in Christ. They gather around the Word of God and the sacraments to worship God and to work for God. They don't just sit there. They help one another. They help others who have no knowledge of God or of Christ. They're ready to give a cheery greeting and offer a friendly smile. When others have problems, they are ready to listen. That's practical, and it's good for everyone, for both the people who are helped and the ones who do the helping. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It's good to hear, and it's also good to do. It's good to do with a purpose, not just for the sake of doing. It's like the doing of the Lord himself, with great purpose, to save the world by his life, death, and resurrection. In that hearing and doing, that listening and that loving, there is life and resurrection. It is eternal life, with the presence of Christ here and now, and the glory of Christ there and then. Remember what he said and what he does. Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.